Philippians 4, verse number 11 to 13 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then verse number 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I'm going to read that again. It says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Ephesians 6, verse number 10 to verse number 13. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Father, tonight, our hearts are open. Our spirits are excited by what you are about to do. Your word says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You are our strength. You are our hope. Our expectation is in you. Father, for every man, every woman on the prayer line tonight, I ask for a divine impartation to come upon their lives. I ask for a release of mercy, for a release of grace to come upon them. I ask for the supernatural strength of God to be infused into them, that where they are weak, they will say, "I am strong." I release the peace of God upon their minds, that peace that surpasses all human understanding. I speak it over them now in the name of Jesus. Father, whatever need that they have, and whatever need they are representing, whatever situation they are standing in the gap for, I pray that God, tonight there will be a turnaround, that there is going to be an answer, there is going to be a release of supernatural provision to meet every need. I declare that you are the healer, therefore healing will manifest tonight. You are the provider, therefore provision will manifest tonight. You are the God of the breakthrough. I declare that breakthrough will manifest tonight. You are the God of peace. Therefore, I declare that peace will manifest tonight in the name of Jesus. You are the God that opens doors that no man can shut. I declare that doors are going to open wide over somebody's life tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, you are the one who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I declare that there is going to be a financial turnaround in somebody's life tonight in the name of Jesus, because Jehovah Jireh is present here tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I am going to say a few things as usual, and then we pray. the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that to each and everything under the sun, there is a season and there is a time. He says there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to embrace and a time to let go, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Says there is a season and a time for everything under heaven, and there is a purpose to everything that happens under the heavens. As according to Ephesians 3, number 10, no, to Ecclesiastes 3. Now, and it also tells us in Ephesians that you and I, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It tells us we are warring. There is a season for war, and there is a season for peace. There is going to be a season for adversity, and there is going to be a season where we are going to be at ease. But you and I have to understand that in the battle that we are engaging with the enemy, though there is a season and there is a time for it, the enemy tries in certain seasons of our lives to bring things that are out of season. Somebody say hallelujah. To bring things that are out of season. Or he tries to establish things in such a way that they run out of their season. For example, it's supposed to be a season for increase in your life, but the devil makes sure that it becomes a season of insufficiency. That he tries to make sure that even though you were supposed to be in a season of peace, you are in a season of adversity. You are warring, you are fighting. Now, because you are warring and you are fighting, there are some things that are introduced in our lives, bearing in mind that we are not warring against flesh and blood. There are some things that are introduced in our lives, and these things that are introduced in our lives are meant to take us out. Somebody say hallelujah. They are meant to bring destruction. John 10:10 tells us, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I came to give you life and life in abundance. Now, there are some things that are brought into our lives by the enemies, I say, to bring death upon us, to bring destruction upon us. But we have to understand that those things have a season and they have a time. And we have the spiritual right, the spiritual authority to disallow some things when they begin operating out of their season. Somebody say hallelujah. When they begin operating out of their season, there are some things that when they are operating in our lives, their season is longer than the amount of time that we have. Somebody say hallelujah. They have a certain amount of time that they have, which is longer than what we expect or what we have. How many of us know that there are some things in life that we just have to endure? Somebody say hallelujah. We just have to endure the things. We just have to out, if I can say this word, we have to outlive them, if I can say that. They are supposed to run a particular course. There's not really much that we can do besides leave them out. It says just stand. After you have done what you can, Donnie McClurkin said, after you've done all that you can, you just stand and see God pull you through. There are some things you're not supposed to be able just to withstand, but some things you have to short circuit them, if I can say that. You have to short circuit some things, which means those things are supposed to outlive you. They are supposed to kill you, but you cannot afford to live in the season of that thing. So you have to cut the season of that thing short. Somebody say hallelujah. You have to cut the season of that thing short. Let me give you an example. If you have a sickness Say, for example, you have a fever, you have a cold, you have a flu. It's supposed to run a course of about 21 days. Not saying that's the exact number, but after 21 days, it basically leaves your body because your body is able to contend with it, or it just runs its course and it's over and done with. But you cannot afford to be in bed for 21 days whilst that thing runs its course. Somebody say hallelujah. So what you have to do is now you have to bring its end before its end. Does it make sense? You have to bring its end before its end. How do you bring its end before its end? You accelerate its end. You accelerate its end. So how does that apply spiritually? There are some seasons that you said you were supposed to endure. There are seasons that you were supposed to be contending with the adversary, but you cannot afford to fight the devil for the next 3 years of your life until his end comes. So what you do is you go to the end of that matter. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm about to preach and pray here tonight because somebody has to understand that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes with the morning. So you cannot wait for the night to run its course, but you interrupt the night by bringing the day and rejoicing in the day. Somebody say hallelujah. So what does that mean, Perkins? What I'm saying is sometimes you don't have to wait for your end to come before you can rejoice. You rejoice before the end comes so that the end is expedited. In the name of Jesus. So that, because the devil knows that when the end comes, you are going to rejoice. So you begin rejoicing in the midst of your situation like the end has come. So you confuse the situation. Your situation has to change in the name of Jesus. And sometimes you have to begin walking by faith and not by sight, because faith tells you that there is an end to your matter. So you begin to live in the end of your matter before the end of your matter comes. And your matter has no option but to change, to be conformed to the end you have declared over it. So, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I know that there are seasons of lack is supposed to go for a particular period of time. But by faith, God, we declare that the end for that matter has come in the name of Jesus. We declare that, God, there is a rejoicing that is going to begin flowing in their spirit that is going to establish an end for that situation, even though the end has not been ordained yet, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I declare that, God, their season of being poor is coming to an end. They don't have to wait 6 months until they get the job for their end to come. Father, we declare that tonight by faith, we are moving into time and bringing the end of their matter into the now in the name of Jesus. We declare that, God, their season of affliction, though it's supposed to run over a period of time, by faith we go to the end of that affliction, to the end of that season, and we pull the end, oh God, and bring it into the now in the name of Jesus. And Father, your word says, oh God, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Therefore, Father, we are not operating in the course of natural progressions of time, but we are walking and operating in the progression of spirit time. And Father, in spirit time, everything is in the now, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, Father, tonight by faith, we transport ourselves, oh God, from the natural progression of time into the time of the spirit. And Father, in the spirit, we command the end that is in the spirit to be established in the now, in the name of Jesus. We declare that, God, chains are being broken, oh God, in the now, and they are being established in the time progression as in the now, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you have to understand that the enemy is going to establish a sort of a framework, an environment around you to contain you, to conform you. Somebody say hallelujah. He introduces a limitation, an environment with its limitations, an environment with its impositions in your life. Therefore, it hinders your progression. It hinders your movement. It makes you acclimatized. It makes you conditioned in within its limitations. Somebody say hallelujah. So you are conditioned within its limitations. Like you are conditioned to live in abnormality because of what the situation has done. You are not concerned with breaking out of your situation, but you are concerned with just surviving in your situation, which means you learn to live in limitedness. You learn to live in powerlessness. You learn to live in faithlessness because you just want to make it through the day. But the environment that promotes such things is not an environment that has been advocated by God. It's not an environment that has been designed by God for you, but it's an environment that has been designed by the enemy that you are contending with. It's not an environment that has been designed by men because of your color, because of your creed, because of your race, because of your gender. But it's an environment that has been customized by the kingdom of darkness. Be they rulers of darkness, be their principalities, be their poor, whatever they are, but they have designed an environment to condition you to be content with living in abnormalities. In the absence of something that is going to destabilize the environment, you are going to find yourself living in that environment for the longest of time. But if in that conditioned environment, if you introduce a variable that the enemy is not accounted for, you destabilize the environment and you are able to break free. Let me give you an example that maybe might concretize this thing in your spirit. If you are living in a room that is hot and you introduce an air conditioning system, the environment, though it's been conditioned to be hot, but the air conditioning system is going to introduce a variable that is going to conform the environment to what is preferred by the one controlling the air conditioning unit. Anybody understand what I'm saying? So what I want to do tonight is, as we are praying, I want to declare that in your environment of conformity, where you have been conformed by the enemy, there is going to be the introduction of an accounted for variable, which is the variable of faith. Because faith is going to agitate the one who has been conditioned to a place of restlessness. You are going to be made aware that there are different possibilities than what you have been exposed to. That there are different levels of success than what has been paraded to you by the environment you have been conditioned to. You are going to realize that there are different ways of doing things than what you have been exposed to in your current present environment. Because in your present environment, your faith has been limited. So the enemy has limited your ability to see the possibilities. But the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This, I know that when we read the scripture, we always regard it as being able to do certain things that we are supposed to be doing, to say I can do all things. But I want to introduce to you to a different dimension of understanding of that scripture based on the preceding verses that say that I now know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God help me. Whether I am in need, I've learned to abound because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether I am suffering some things, I have learned to rejoice because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means my situation and my circumstance cannot control me because I have learned to survive through the situation because of Christ who strengthens me. I've learned to endure the circumstances I'm facing because of Christ who strengthens me. So what does that mean, Perkins? That means that no matter what environment I find myself in or find myself placed by the principalities and rulers of darkness, I have learned to abound because of Christ who strengthens me. So what does that mean, Perkins? Some of you have to understand that the devil has designed some things to take you out. The devil has designed some things to render you powerless and weak. But he does not know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the environment that you are exposed to. Therefore, because of what is inside of me, the Christ who strengthens me, the Christ who is the hope of glory, what the enemy has designed to destroy me will not destroy me, but it will make me stronger. In the name of Jesus. Because the environment that you have been designed to be established, what has been designed around you has been designed to maintain its authority on you because of ignorance. But tonight we interject a spirit of revelation in your environment that ignorance cannot contain you anymore, because the word of God says in the midst of darkness, when light shines, darkness must flee. So what revelation are you speaking about, Perkins? I am saying even in the midst of your adversity, there is something greater in you that will not allow you to die in that environment. And that is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. I declare that tonight you are going to wage a war against the environment that has been set around you, and you are going to overcome. You are going to prevail. You are going to break through. You are going to be standing on the other side, because the environment the enemy has designed to contain you cannot contain you anymore in the name of Jesus. I am reminded of the prayer that Jabez declared, "Father, enlarge my territory." You see, we have prayed that prayer and we have forgotten the implications, because Jabez is saying, "I've been named according to the environment that contains me." Therefore, God, the system that the enemy has designed to contain me only operate within a particular surface area. Therefore, God, just enlarge my territory and render all these control systems of the environment to be ineffective in the name of Jesus. What does that mean, Perkins? That means that the enemy has created an environment around you that says, at your level of faith, I can contain you with this particular kind of control systems. But if you enlarge your territory, the systems I have designed cannot contain you anymore. Let me give you an example. You see, when I'm in my house, I have a particularly sized air conditioning system to condition my house, the temperature, the atmosphere. But I cannot take that air conditioning system and run it in a warehouse, because it's going to overwork itself. Because we have increased the surface area where it's going to be operating. It cannot blow enough air. It cannot turn fast enough to condition the atmosphere to what is preferred. So tonight I declare that God is about to enlarge your environment. God is about to enlarge your territory. As God is enlarging your territory, that means what the enemy has put to contain you cannot contain you anymore, because you are going to overwork the system. You are going to render it powerless. You are going to render it ineffective because of what God is about to do. There is a measure of faith that God is going to release in your spirit that the enemy cannot deal with in your present environment. He has no choice but to let you go. Because that's what God is saying. The season of you being contained by that environment has come to an end in the name of Jesus. You see, your neighborhood has been designed to deal with people at a particular financial position. But God is saying, because of your prayer, I am about to enlarge you. You are about to violate the limitation that has been imposed on you by the kingdom of darkness. You are breaking out and you are breaking through. The enemy has to kick you out of that environment. Otherwise, you are going to be overworking and overtiring him in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, God, I hope somebody gets an opportunity today, whenever you are done, just to read the book of Philippians. It's amazing. It's astounding what the Apostle Paul begins to say. Let me give you one scripture from the book of Philippians again, so you can see what I'm talking about. Oh, God help me in the name of Jesus. Let me just pull up Philippians here so I can just show you what I'm talking about. God help me. That the enemy has no choice but to let you go. He has no choice but to let you go. He has no choice but to let you go. Here's what it says. Philippians chapter number 1. This is what it says about it. I'm reading. Let me read from the New King James Version. That's better, not the NIV. I prefer the New King James Version on this one right here. And this is what it says. He says, from verse number 12. Verse number 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord having become confident by my chains are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let me read from the Amplified, so you can get a sense of what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. He says, now I want you to know, believers, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment that was meant to stop me, has actually served to advance the good news. My imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become common knowledge through the whole Praetorian God and to everyone else, because of my chains, seeing that I am doing well and that God is accomplishing great things, most of the brothers have renewed confidence in the Lord and have far more courage to speak the word of God concerning salvation without fear of the consequences, seeing that God can work his good in all circumstances. Jesus help me. That means whatever the enemy is trying to do, he will not hinder you from accomplishing your assignment. In fact, the scriptures tell us that all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God help me. That means the enemy has been trying to contain you, to hinder your progression, but what he has been doing has actually been working for the furtherance of the gospel. Let me bring it to you. Let me bring it home to you. The enemy thought he will put you into poverty and you would give up. But in the midst of adversity, you learned to trust and lean on God. You have developed a level of boldness that says, in Christ I live and in Christ I die. That says, even in the midst of a season of loss, I will still magnify God with all that is within me. I have learned to abound, to be abased. I have learned to live without, and my faith in God has not been wavering. The devil cannot deal with such people. That's why I'm saying tonight in you, we are infusing some level of faith, expectation, and hope that the devil has no choice but to let you go. Because what he has established around you is not defeating the purpose that God has sent you to do. Can I just tell somebody here tonight? You are going through some things, and those things are not going to kill you. You are going to outlive those things in the name of Jesus. You are going through some things, and those things are not going to outlive you. They are going to die before you die in the name of Jesus. Those things are going to be rendered ineffective before they render you ineffective in the name of Jesus. Let me give you this other scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I will read. For to me, this is from the Amplified Version, for to me to live is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain, for I will be with him in eternity. I hope you catch that. For to me to live is Christ. He is the source of my joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain. I don't find joy in my circumstance. I find joy in Christ. That means Christ is more than enough for me. I will say it again. My joy is not in having stuff. My joy is in Christ. I'm going to say it again. My joy is not in having stuff, but my joy is in Christ. My reason to live is not in the things that I have, but it's in the one that I have. I'm going to say that again, because that's going to change the environment the enemy has set around you. Because the reason why you have been operating and living in sorrow, because things have been taken away from you. But I'm saying my joy is not in having things, but my joy is in having him. Christ, my hope in glory. Here's what I'm saying. The devil can have all my things, but he cannot take away my joy, because my joy is in Christ. Because the enemy has set things around you to steal. He can steal, but my joy is still in God. He can destroy things around me, but my joy is still in God. Therefore, my praise is not, oh God help me, my praise is not predicated on my environment. My praise is not predicated on my emotional condition, on my emotional status. Because whether I have or I don't have, He is still worthy of it all. Somebody is being liberated here tonight in the name of Jesus. I don't have to wait until I have $1 million in the bank to praise God like I have $1 million in the bank. Because Christ is more than enough for me, Darlene Sheikh saying. Christ is more than enough for me. I'm hearing that song by the Promise Keepers. My hope is built on nothing less but in Jesus' blood. Devil, you can take everything away from me, but my hope is not in things. It is in the one who rose again from the grave. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He says, for me to live, let me give you from a different version. Let me give you from the New King James Version so you can see something there. Because somebody is being encouraged tonight in the name of Jesus. It's going to be encouraging. When it's over, the devil won't even know what hit them, what hit him. He won't even know. He says, God help me. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my next expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. What are you trying to say, Perkins, to somebody here tonight? Let me give you the scripture that the Bible says that if the devil knew, if the principalities we are fighting with knew, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. Let me give you this example. When Christ was alive in the earth walking before his resurrection, he was causing hemorrhaging to the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy thought the only way to deal with this particular kind of person is to kill them. But the enemy did not know that even in death, he will still cause hemorrhaging to the kingdom of darkness. So they killed him, buried him, and he went and preached to the dead. He conquered the grave and he rose up again triumphantly on the third day. And death no longer has power over him. and the ministry the enemy thought he was destroying has gone on stronger for 2,000 years. So what am I saying? The enemy tries to contain you, but your faith is still being enlarged. In adversity, your strength is being enlarged. Your faith is being enlarged. So the enemy doesn't know what to do with you. Should he bring adversity, you still praise God. Should he bring sufficiency, you still praise God. God help me. Whether you have or you don't have, your prayer is still strong. You still believe that God is able. You still believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You still believe that you can do all things through Christ who is your strength. You stand on that word in the name of Jesus. Therefore, tonight I declare that there is a rising up in you, that the principalities who have been trying to rule over your life cannot design systems sufficient enough to destroy you because of the unaccounted variable that has now entered into your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can I ask somebody here tonight, has anybody ever read what the Apostle Paul wrote? Anybody? Because the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, which are you and I. So the enemy thought, let's put him in prison. In prison, he's still writing a letter, he's still preaching. He is even affecting the guards. In prison, his boldness and his faith is empowering people that are outside. somebody's catching the revelation tonight that the world is being empowered by how you are enduring your affliction. There is a level of boldness. God help me. Your sons and your daughters know how much you are going through. And they realize you have not capitulated. You are still standing. And they are saying, if she can still trust God in spite of what she's going through, there must be something about this God. That she does not have anything, yet there is still a smile on her face because she says God is able. So the enemy thought he was destroying your testimony. But he has actually empowered you to testify. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Tonight I declare that the enemy will not destroy your testimony. The enemy will not kill your testimony. In fact, whatever the enemy is trying to do concerning you is working out towards the expected end that God ordained for your life. In the name of Jesus. How many of us know that sometimes there is a level of revelation that is only discovered in the midst of adversity? The children of Israel, they were by the mountain and they were engaged in a battle for the first time as a nation against the Amalekites. And there was a revelation that came forth that he is Jehovah Nissi. That revelation only came because of adversity. So for most of you, you always spoke of God being Jehovah Jireh. The enemy was content with you just saying that he is. He did not want you to experience the Jireness of God. But he came and imposed a deficiency in your life that caused you to cry unto God, and that cry caused God to manifest himself as your provider. Is anybody on this prayer line tonight who has been experiencing a season of closed doors? Opportunities drying up. Friends being cut off. Isolation setting in your life like never before. It seems as if everybody around you is abandoning you. And the enemy is speaking to you, has been speaking to your mind that you are not worth anything. Look at how everybody is leaving you. Look at how nobody wants to talk to you. Look at how nobody wants to do any good in your life. Look at how messed up you are that nobody wants to be around you. Even your children are running away from you. Look at how crazy you are. But the enemy has forgotten one thing. He has been beating that drum for too long, and it has caused you to get to a place of desperation where you are crying unto God like never before, and God has heard your cry, and he is going to show up as your deliverer. He is going to show up as the God who opens doors that no man can shut. He is going to show up as Baal Perazim, as the God of the breakthrough in your life, because now God is saying, I've heard your cry. You are going to experience what you have been confessing in the name of Jesus. Watch this. When they were in slavery in Egypt, what caused their deliverance besides the word that God declared to Abraham, said, for 400 days they shall be in slavery, and I'll bring them out. God said to Moses, I have heard their cry. What brought out their cry was the severe affliction that the enemy was imposing on them. But that affliction caused a cry to rise up from them that provoked God to move on his word and bring deliverance. Can I dig a little bit deeper here? Can I dig a little bit deeper here and I'm done? Remember that Hannah went through a season where she was being mocked by her rivalry, where she was being told, you are barren, you are nothing, you don't have anything. That Hannah got to a point of desperation that she went to the house of God and said, I am not going to eat anything until I've prayed unto God. And God help me in the name of Jesus. And Hannah begin to pray, and God heard her cry of desperation. But that cry of desperation would have never been brought forth if her adversary had been quiet. Can I just throw in a little nugget in there for you concerning Hannah? Just throw for you a nugget in concerning Hannah. The Bible says when the priest Eli saw her, he said, this woman is drunk. Anybody remember that? He said, this woman is drunk. So what you do is you go and you pause right there. This woman is drunk. You pause right there. The Bible says she was moving her lips. They couldn't even understand what she was doing. They said she was drunk. You pause right there. Then you jump over the New Testament, the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. Men were saying this. The apostle said, don't say these men are drunk, for it is like what? It is in the morning. It is in the daytime. They are not drunk. They are not drunk. They are moving by the
desperate. So Hannah, in her desperation, was able to traverse time to go to the day of Pentecost and begin to pray by the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, and God brought forth a prophet through her womb. What provoked that was the affliction and the desperation that was caused by the mocking that a rivalry was bringing across her life. So the pressure that the enemy is imposing on you is actually magnifying your testimony. He came to steal, but he doesn't know that God intends to bring a double portion in your life. Do you realize that there is a moment, the Apostle Paul describes it, when he realizes that whether I'm alive or I'm dead, God will be magnified through me. I'm going to say it again. Whether I'm alive or I'm dead, God will be magnified through my body. I asked you earlier on, has anybody ever read the works of the Apostle Paul? These works, God help me, the works of the Apostle Paul that have ministered to us greatly over the years were written whilst he was in prison, were written whilst he was in affliction. So in his affliction, there was an epistle that was written, and it wasn't just being written for that generation that he sent it to, but it was being written to our generation that has not even been born yet to time. And we identify with him because of where he wrote the epistle from. In his affliction, in prison, he was still ministering. He was still effective in ministry. Whether he had or he did not have, he had learned to abound. He had learned to abase himself, whether he doesn't have or he has. And for us, we look at his life and we say, the same spirit that was working in him is working in us. You and I always quote the scripture, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's because of the testimony that the Apostle Paul wrote in the midst of his affliction. So what does that have to do with you? Some of you are going through seasons of sickness. And in your sickness, you are writing a testimony that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Some of you have messed up along the way, and the enemy has been using that as an accusation against you. But you have learned that a just man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up again. You have learned to understand that great is his mercy towards me, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. You have learned that God will not discard you because you have sinned, but he brings you to a place of repentance so you can be reconciled back with him and move on towards your destiny. So the enemy is just thinking, what can I do with this person? Because no matter what I try, they will still magnify God. No matter what I do, they will still glorify God. So let me give you a few pointers here. Number one, there are some things you are going to outlive. You are not going to die before they are done with, because their season is going to be shortened in your life. The environment around you is going to be destabilized because there is something that is greater that is entering in you that the enemy cannot contain, he cannot control. For some things, I declare that tonight we are quickening their expiration date in your life in the name of Jesus. Your sickness was supposed to last until December, but tonight we announced your sickness. December is here. It's time for you to go in the name of Jesus. For some of you, your financial position is supposed to last until January when you get some money. But tonight I declare that God is interrupting the plan of the enemy. Your financial situation changes today in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. So we introduce a destabilizing agent into your environment, and that destabilizing agent in your environment is the Word of God that says you can do all things through Christ who is your strength. That your hope is not dead. Your hope is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Your hope is alive. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sorrowful. But your hope is no longer deferred because your hope is in Christ. You have learned in this season not to rejoice because of what you have, but to rejoice because of who you have. You have learned that nothing can be compared to Christ. All the silver and all the gold is not worth to be compared to the captain of our salvation. Having Christ with me is more than enough. I've learned to trust in God no matter what season I'm walking in my life. No matter what the enemy establishes around me, I can still do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether I have or I don't have, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter how many friends run away from me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even if my body is incapacitated, I can still do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not allow my present environment to destroy my testimony. My ministry is going forth no matter what circumstance I'm facing, because in my body, whether in life or in death, Christ will be magnified. For there is a gain to be attained in me alive, and there is a gain to be attained in me being dead. Either way, devil, you lose in the name of Jesus. So the devil realizes, you know what? Let's not kill him. Let's keep him alive. Let's keep him alive. Let's keep him alive. Because if he dies, many are going to come to his, if he dies, many are going to come to his funeral and they're going to be saved. So let's keep him alive. But as they're keeping me alive, many are going to be saved because of what I'm going to tell them about what God has done. So either way, I know that in this season that we are walking in, we are walking towards a season of thanksgiving. And we do not give thanks. We don't give thanks because of what we have in terms of material things, but we give thanks because of who God has given us. Can I just tell you something? And I'm done, it's almost one. See, Christ's value, his value in your life does not suffer depreciation. You see, his worship, his worthiness does not change based on your environment. And your environment does not change who he is. So when he comes into your environment, oh God help me, I'm going to preach one day. Because your environment does not change who Christ is. So when Christ steps into your environment, your environment is going to find a voice and cry out that he is worthy of it all. I'm going to say it again. When Christ steps into your situation does not change him. But your situation will find its voice and cry out that he is worthy of it all. That means your situation is going to bow when he comes in. Your environment has to bow when he steps in. It simply means this. It simply means this. When Christ steps into your environment, your environment has to bow and allow the will of Christ to be done in it. Okay, let me do this and I'm done. Your environment is designed to kill you. It's designed to bring death and destruction. But when Christ comes in, the desire of that environment to bring death and destruction has to bow and yield to Christ bringing life and life in abundance. So the Apostle Paul, even when he was in prison, Christ stepped in that even those that were incarcerating him, guarding him, were affected by what the Apostle Paul was carrying inside of him. The environment that was designed to hinder the progress of the gospel had to bow down and allow the gospel to go forth. Because Christ stepped in and that environment had to bow to the will and design of God. So here's the thing. Your present environment is designed to make sure that you do not amount to anything. Your environment is designed by, remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But your environment has been designed by principalities and powers to hinder your forward progression. It has been designed to keep you in darkness. It has been designed to keep you in confusion. It has been designed to keep you in desperation. It has been designed to cause you to give up. It has been designed that way. But tonight I'm saying, greater is he that is in you than what is in your environment. Therefore, the one who is greater in you is beginning to affect your environment. Therefore, your environment has to bow down and say he is worthy of it all and allow the will of Christ concerning you to be established in that environment and through that environment to affect the people that you must affect in your life. Finally, I know a preacher can close 10, 15, 20 times. The enemy caused a situation to destabilize your marriage. The environment you find yourself in is toxic to your marriage. But now I'm here to let you know that Christ, the hope of glory, is stepping into your situation, and that situation has to bow. That environment has to bow and allow the will of God to be established. And what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Whatever I have joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay, today I ask for the Lord to cut off every hand that has been meddling in your marriage in the name of Jesus. May the Lord cut off every tongue and condemn it in judgment, every tongue that has been speaking against your household in the name of Jesus. May God deflect every curse that has been spoken against your health in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The enemy struck his last blow and he thought it was a KO. Which means he thought it was what? A knockout. But God is changing the KO into a KO, which means keep out. So the devil thought it was a knockout, but God is saying now it's going to be a keep out. Because you felt the pain of the punch and you caught your second wind, as they do in boxing. And you are about to hit back with a fury that the enemy has to keep out. The enemy hit you with a jab that was supposed to knock you out. But when he hits you, you cried out. And God heard that cry and said, I am on my way. Let me read this scripture and we'll conclude for the day. I believe that the word of God is the only thing that sanctifies. Philippians 4, verse number 11 to verse number 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I have come to this conclusion. That's my own addition to that verse. And I have come to the conclusion, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that I speak in not, I know that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can spend my days in the jail cell. That spending my days is because of Christ who strengthens me. I am going to outlive the situation because of Christ who strengthens me. I am going to overcome this because of Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, whether I live or I die, through my body, Christ will be magnified. Father, your name we bless, your name we glorify, your name we exalt. Your name we glorify, your name we magnify, and your name we will exalt. You, O God, are more than enough for me. God, as long as you are with me, it doesn't matter what is happening around me, for it is well with my soul, for you are with me. Father, we bless your sons and your daughters tonight with the measure of grace, boldness, and gladness that God is large and He is still in charge of everything that is happening in their lives. Father, I pray for that testimony to be solidified, that they can do all things through Christ who is their strength. This is the day that you have made. They are rejoicing and they are glad in it. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, and amen.